David, let's go back to your story on Michael Faraday. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. I was just saying that he was this guy in London way back in the 1820s who really helped establish the whole world of electricity I talk about in, you know, in the book Electric Universe, because he imagined that there's these invisible force fields outside a moving magnet or outside, you know, when you move a charge inside an electric wire. And as opposed to some people have those ideas and they might sound weird, he was right. He was proven exactly right.
At what point did he or anyone else start to talk about the applications of what this field might do?
Well, when he first started it going, he invented both the electric motor and the generator. And there's a story, it's a made-up story, but it's kind of sweet, that the British Prime Minister visited him in his laboratory, which was, it was in a basement in central London, though there were windows at ground level sort of looking up, and said, "What use is this?" when he showed him the electric motor. "What use is this strange thing, Mr. Faraday?" And Faraday said, "One day, sir, you will be able to tax it."
How true.
And so they you know, the world, we're used to the world changing really, really fast now.
Sure.
But there were pretty fast changes then. And, I mean, when steam engines took over from muscle power, people thought, whoa, what a giant, giant change. So they were really on the lookout for fresh inventions. In fact, people then were sort of, oh, I'd say more optimistic than now, because we now know, okay, you can get cell phones, but then you can get harassed wherever you are and bothered, or email seems great until you come home from work and you have to deal with a huge number of emails, you know, stuff like that. But at that time there was, or, you know, factories are beautiful, but, oh, the pollution and everything. But at that time in the 1800s, there's this feeling the world was so difficult. People were really just grunting and straining in these terrible manual jobs and stuff, carrying things and lifting and all that. Wouldn't it be nice to have these machines replace it and make it easier?
True. Now, is it accurate to say electricity was invented or found?
I'd say pretty much found. The whole electrical system was sort of invented, but it was pretty much found. And that's what's so exciting, that Faraday and a few other people managed to open this door. Now, the problem with Faraday is that he, because he was very poor, he never went to school. He dropped out of school at about age 11 or 12, and even so, it was a very simple slum school. And so he had this idea about these force fields spreading out from wires, which later, of course, we could tap to make a radio and cell phones and radar and all sorts of stuff and microwaves and all that stuff. But he couldn't prove it. He had a few simple demonstrations, but he couldn't really prove it. Well, it turns out there was another guy named Maxwell, James Clerk Maxwell. And he was interesting. He was picked on a lot when he was a kid up in Scotland. And then finally he grew strong, so nobody was going to mess with him, and he showed his great abilities in science. And when he moved down to London, although he was respected, he really remembered what it was like to be picked on. And they saw all these upper-class scientists making fun of Faraday. He hadn't gone to the right schools. He didn't know modern mathematics. He spoke with a funny accent, all that stuff. And Maxwell was sort of like a big brother. Even though he was younger than Faraday, he acted like a protective big brother and said, "Hey, I know what it's like to be picked on. I'm not going to let anybody be picked on again." And he used his great mathematical skills to take Faraday's ideas and actually show exactly how you could use them to actually make radio waves and then all the other things that we're now used to.
It was really the application of electricity that changed this planet forever, wasn't it?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know what? It used to be that you have to have an energy source right next to where you're actually using something. You know, you would have to have... even today, you know, many cities are near rivers or, you know, ports and stuff, you know, rivers where there could be rushing water, where boats could come in. But with electricity, you could have the source of the power that you use could be tens or hundreds of miles away. And we're used to that now. You said earlier that, you know, when we notice how powerful it is, especially young people, you notice it, of course, on a camping trip, but you notice it when there's a power cut.
Absolutely.
Because in the first 20 or 30 minutes of a power cut, it's actually kind of fun sometimes. You chat with people in the office you don't normally talk to, and maybe you mill around outside. Even an hour or two can be kind of fun, or even one evening. You know, you get out the old candles, and, you know, the family's just sometimes even pulled together more than it was. But if it goes on for a day or 2 days or 3 days, everything really changes.
And oh, I checked yeah, with you're right.
Yeah, because, like, you know, toilets after a while won't flush. Ultimately, there's, you know, electrical pumps driving water systems. And in a big city, that's not real desirable. And gasoline, you know, is pumped up by electricity. In fact, I begin Electric Universe. I checked with some friends in emergency services, and I asked them, how long do they think a big city would work if there was zero electricity at all, not just in that city, but anywhere? And I thought, ooh, you know, I thought it might be quite a while. They thought, about about 48 hours, maybe 72 hours. Because when there's a power cut, we often know that there's the army still has electricity there, or people can bring food in with trucks. But in a total power cut, you wouldn't be able to use your credit card, right?
You can't do that. You can't use your ATM machine. You can't go get money.
Yep. And suppose all electricity faded. So imagine, you know, your cell phone's cut off. The radio cuts off. You know, imagine that even the electricity in the batteries wasn't working. Police radios would be cut off. No police anywhere. All refrigeration would go. You wouldn't be able to pump any water in or pump any gasoline. Airports would have to close, right? Because the radars wouldn't work and you couldn't pump up the gasoline. It really wouldn't be very nice.
People, say, had battery-operated radios, couldn't hear the show.
Exactly. And if it turns out, if we knew in advance, if we knew that 15 years from now, electricity was just not going to work, that the solar system was passing through a part of the galaxy where there were clouds that would affect electricity and block it, we'd be able to prepare alternate ways of doing things. My dad was almost old enough to be my grandfather. He passed away when I was younger. And he was in his 20s in Chicago in the 1920s. And I imagine what a power cut then would have been like, a total electricity power cut. And it actually wouldn't have been so bad. You know, they had elevators, so you couldn't get up on the high buildings. And there were some electric streetcars. But food still was brought into the cities by, you know, steam-driven boats. And farming didn't depend totally on tractors and, you know, batteries to get them going and stuff.
What about your refrigerator? How long can your food last in there? Maybe a half a day, maybe the freezer, maybe 24 hours if you don't open it?
Exactly, and we're used to a whole system. If you've ever worked like in, you know, logistics or warehouses, a whole system of supply chains where if your refrigerator goes, well, you go to the supermarket, but their refrigerators would go, and their suppliers would go, and the warehouses would go. So what's kind of neat is nobody ever sat down and say, I'm going to make a system that's so precarious. Well, we had a tiny bit of experience of that on 9/11. I mean, everybody has their own memories. But for me, one of the most striking things, I wasn't in New York, was when the skies went quiet. There were no airplanes at all. Nobody had ever planned to have a system so vulnerable. But you know, you could just, that was a little hint. What happens if you just cut out all the airplanes? Just stop it. It was very, very quiet, and it was really too quiet.
People had to cancel whatever they did. It was mm-hmm. it was just the country stood still.
Now, America's resilient enough that, even an attack on one city, the country is so strong and there's so much diversity that, you know, the rest of the country is very, very strong, and indeed all the pulling together and everything. But again, that just gave a little hint. Imagine if there was no electricity everywhere. It would be like that day, but that day never ending.